Hare Krishna, in this section of our holy name retreat, I want to talk a little bit about Krishna, who is the owner or the possessor of this name. Chanting of the holy name should always be seen in context. It should not be taken out of the context of the bhakti tradition. And certainly, chanting the holy name is a way of associating with Krishna. Now, as I said in the beginning of our journey with the holy name, we tend to focus on the melodies and on the effect this repeated chanting of one mantra has on our consciousness. There is an ancient scripture which says chanting mantras, frees the mind from unwanted occupation. So therefore you can see that people in this world all over who come to the kirtans and who sing along or who just stay there feel after some time a sense of great relief. This is how also we in the beginning relate to the holy name. It frees us from our internal burdens and obstacles. We feel well. But as we continue to chant, our attention begins to be drawn away from this world, and it comes towards Krishna. At that time, the devotee wants to know more of the person's qualities. When we approach Krishna, the first place where we meet him is in the name. Then later, as we chant, we are thinking of how Krishna looks, his form. Still later, we are thinking, oh, Krishna is so merciful and other qualities, so beautiful. And then it comes a time when our mind becomes absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And when that is the case, when we then change our body at the moment of death, we have the chance to enter Krishna's pastimes and associate with him in person. This is a little bit the path lined out for those who engage in chanting. And in our holy name retreats, I always like to take a little time to talk about Krishna personally, his wonderful nature, his pastimes. And I have prepared something for you which I have already presented in Slovenia and also in Germany. Prabhupada gave once a lecture about a verse which is very well known. Please repeat this verse. Divyat Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadaha Srimad Ratnagara Simhaso Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtalibi Sevyamano Smarami. It means I meditate about this place called Vrindavan Dham. In that Vrindavan Dham is a beautiful temple made of jewels. And again in this temple we find a courtyard with a wish-fulfilling tree. And under the wish-fulfilling tree, as we come closer, there we find a beautiful throne. And on this throne, Radha and Krishna are situated, lovingly served by their confidential associates. Srila Prabhupada says, this is a description of Vrindavan. And Radha and Krishna situated there. Van means forest and Vrinda means Tulasi. So it's the forest of Tulasi. Mostly there are Tulasi plants, but also other trees. And all these trees are living desire trees. They are spiritual. They can serve Krishna in any way they desire. They have become trees by their voluntary desire. They are all spiritual beings. There's no force. Everyone has got a particular tendency to serve Krishna in a different way. So these trees and plants, they are also living beings. They are not ordinary living beings, but they have decided to serve Krishna by supplying fruits and flowers. They want that service. A little later, Prabhupada says, you also be one of the associates of Krishna as you desire. Krishna will give you the opportunity to serve him as you desire. And then Prabhupada says, you have to follow the other Brijavasis, how they are loving Krishna. You have to learn that. Then you will get the chance of Krishna's association. I've good news for you. There are associates of Krishna who sing his glories. So if you practice here to sing for Krishna, who knows, Krishna might accept your service. Many times our Vaishnava Acharyas say, how many more days I should be waiting until your mercy for Radha and Krishna. Please take me to you. And then I will stand up and I will sing and dance your glories. There is such a thing. So today I would like to tell you a pastime I'm personally very excited about. It happens after the months of Bhadra. Bhadra, or the end of Bhadra, is spring. So the next month is called Ashwini. And in the first 15 days of this month, there are so many flowers coming from the trees and from the ground that the Brijbasis celebrate a particular flower festival which is called Sanji. It is during this time also where those who are married, the married girls, who have suffered the separation from their parents by living with their in-laws, the married girls are all going to their parents, and Srimati Radharani will go where exactly? Yes, to the palace of her father, Brishabhanu, and her mother, what is her name? Kirtita, into Vashana. But because Radha is known as Krishna Mayi, she whose consciousness is always filled with Krishna, she doesn't feel so well in Vashana. In Javad, it's easier for her to meet Krishna. In Vashana, it's a bit more difficult. So what she does is what many devotees who feel separation from Krishna in this world also do. Radharani looks at pictures of Krishna, but She has made those pictures herself, and she has made them from flowers. It's one of the 64 arts which is there in the spiritual world. Krishna also has learned it. And Radharani looks at these flower pictures which show the pastimes she has with Krishna, and is very, very happy. But these flower decorations or pictures last only for perhaps, I don't know, it's very warm there at that time, a day or 2 days. And because so many flowers have been picked around Vashana, Srimati Radharani contemplates, I have heard that there is a forest in Vrindavan which is called the forest of flowers, or Pushpavan. Let me go to this Pushpavan with my confidential associates, the gopis, and pick flowers for further Sanji art. And while she thinks like this, another thought joins this thought. Maybe Krishna walks in Pushpavan and looks at the beautiful flowers there. And then I meet him. I will escape the prison of Vashana and my parents' vigilance, and I will perhaps meet Krishna. So she informs her associates, and a beautiful procession of gopis leave Vashana. There are gopis before Radha. Radha is flanked by two gopis. I think you have seen on this altar, on the altar of Radha Gopinath, these two gopis, and remember their names, please say them. Lalita Vishaka. And then behind her, like bees who follow their queen, are many, many small little girls. They're called manjaris, and they carry various items to serve Radha, like fresh juices especially. It is a little hot in that time. So they arrive in this forest called Pushpavan. This forest brings excitement because of so many kunda flowers which blossom, and there is also a constant trickle of honey, sweet smelling intoxicating honey dripping down from these kunda flowers. And there are many cuckoos, perhaps you have seen, they are big like this, they are blackish like Krishna, and they constantly make cuckoo. But here, in Pushpavan, because in the months of Ashwini, the mango buds are coming from the mango trees, and the cuckoos eat those, their voices have become especially sweet, and their cuckoo sound is imbued with a sweetness that indicates love, a loving excitement. So Srimati Radharani enters this forest and was overwhelmed by the multitude of flowers and begins to pick with her girl friends these beautiful flowers in the hope to make even more attractive Sanji images of her pastimes with Krishna, all the while hoping to meet Krishna. Now, Krishna's name is Gopi Jana Vallabha. He likes to please the gopis. Or another name is Gopinath, the Lord and Master of the gopis. And he has become aware of the desire, and he nonchalantly walks through the forest. His step looks like that of a baby elephant. He swings a little bit back and forth, almost as if he is a little bit intoxicated, and intoxicated he is with love. Srimati Radharani, on the other side, she walks also, but her walk is described to be that of a swan. A swan which walks is always almost like a swing, you know, very beautiful, elegant walks back and forth and so on. And it's the gopis who are the first ones to see Krishna. But how is he dressed? First, they almost don't recognize him. Where's the yellow dhoti? Where's the pitambara? Krishna is dressed absolutely fantastic, but so different. He's dressed like a gardener. I can't tell you how a gardener is dressed when he's in Vrindavan. He certainly doesn't have Wellington boots or something like that. But he has a beautiful turban, greenish embroidered cloth. But that's all what I know. And when he saw the gopis, he began teasing them. Oh, beautiful gopis, do you know that you are moving about in the flower gardens of King Kamadev? The gopi said, who's this King Kamadev? Kamadev is the god of love, no? What is he saying? Why do you pick his flowers without any authorization? I'm his authorized gardener. The gopis, they don't want to deal with this. And in a way, they want to deal very much with Krishna, but conflicting emotions. So they turn away and look the other way. And pretend to not even see Vanamali, that's his name, the gardener of the forest. And Krishna gets a little excited. He says, you arrogant thieves, can't you see you're devastating the entire forest by your flower stealing, depleting it of its entire wealth? Now, my dear devotees, I must inform you about something now. You will hear a very, very intense quarrel in a few seconds, where Radharani takes the leading role. Now, quarrel amongst us humans brings people apart. Except they are lovers. When they quarrel lovingly and bear their temperaments, you know, boom, then they become closer. The Kama Shastra says a lusty man will enjoy if his heroine, the lady, will start to quarrel with him in a high-pitched voice. But most of you, some of you must be Grihastha, and when the ladies go with a high-pitched voice, you go, wow, I better get out of here, it's so intense. Separation happens between us humans in most cases. But when Radha and Krishna quarrel, they are outside talking in one way and inside relishing their very close encounter. So what you will hear now is love. It's not quarrel. So when Radha overheard Krishna saying that the gopis were destroying the forest, she raised her beautiful voice, and she looked with sparkling blue eyes at Krishna, and she said, "You dare to accuse us? It is you with all your millions of cows who destroy the forest of Vrindavan. These cows cannot discriminate. Perhaps they are a little bit like you, between the grass and the tree leaves and so on. And wherever they go, they leave a big, big avenue of destruction. Yet you are ignoring your own fault and blaming us." Krishna smiles about the intelligence and the of his dearest Srimati Radharani, and he says, "There is one deciding difference between you and me and your girlfriends. I am acting with the authorization of Kamadev, whereas you violate him. I am totally faultless." At this, Radha says, "You faultless? The whole world knows about you being a thief. As a little boy, the elderly gopis could not keep their butter pot safe from you. You would always go and steal everything." There's a song celebrating Krishna in fact as a thief. The song says, Krishna steals from his devotees the reaction of birth and death. And then the song continues, "What a terrible thief Krishna is. Only his name alone steals the bad reaction. What a terrible thief." I think you all know a big thief in this world is Babyface Nelson. I mean, he's no longer. He's not so terrible. If you say his name, then whoop, your glasses are gone and your little amount of Lakshmi is gone. Even Babyface Nelson is not so powerful. However, Krishna, just when you recite his names, Hare Krishna, etc., and especially if you sing it with like-minded devotees, and especially if you sing it with devotional absorption, it steals all your bad anattas, all your bad mind, your bad this and that, your bad what covers your heart. That's how it is Krishna. So, but Radharani doesn't take this aspect. She says, you are not faultless. You are a thief. And enough of your arguments. A thief will talk lies. And therefore, I will say now something. I am the rightful queen of Vrindavan. I was crowned Vrindavaneshwari by Purnamasi. And I will now punish you for three faults of yours. First of all, you accuse the innocent gopis who are faultless. Second of all, you are hiding your true identity as the son of Maharaj Nanda by claiming an imaginary post that is the servant of Kamadev. And third of all, you introduce a king we have never heard about. Therefore, you must be punished. All the gopis go, punish him, tie him up, lock him up, he's too much, and so on. But Radha stops this wild applause and says, I make the following decree. Decree means order. This is my order. This boy is hereby sentenced to the hard labor of dressing my ruffled hair. Hare Krishna. You must know, according to the Goswamis, the blackish, shiny hair of Srimati Radharani, which is very long, are her long thoughts about Krishna. When Radha's hair is dressed, it's a lot of hair. It reaches down very, very much. The following activities must be done. It must be washed with an astringent juice from the amalaki fruit. It must be dried with white towels. It must be smoked with the wood from aguru. Aguru is, it has a certain raisin, a substance which smells just beautifully. And then the hair must be oiled and dried. It's a lot. Washing, drying, smoking, oiling, drying. And then, oh, I forgot, making a braid, sometimes with pearls inside, sometimes with flowers, and so on. So when Krishna heard this order, he became absolutely blissful. He said, I accept. And together with Radha, he entered a nearby kunj. Kunj is like a natural house formed by trees who stand there, which had flower archways, swaying vines, and jewel lamps inside. And Srimati Radharani was sitting down on a chair before a golden table. I only know the German word for such a table. It's called in German a commode. It sounds French, isn't it? And there on this commode were a golden combs and all the oils and everything required for Srimati Radharani. So Krishna started by taking the golden comb and disentangled Srimati Radharani's hair. And he did other services. I don't know if he did all the six, but he did other services. And then he got an idea. Today I would love to decorate Radha's hair with flowers. After all, she came for the flowers, and this is the flower season. So lovingly he goes out and he picks flowers in a basket, and he's so absorbed in his service to Srimati Radharani that soon the flowers are so much flowers that they stream out of the basket. An excess of flowers. Krishna doesn't even notice. But at one point he asked Lalita, I have so many good flowers. Do you have water to wash them? And Lalita smiles and says, no, only fruit juices. This Krishna says, don't worry a bit. And he takes his flute and he just puts it in the earth, and upon doing this, a beautiful kund with jeweled staircases that go down to the crystal clear water. In that water, lotus flowers grow, and believe it or not, jeweled fishes who look like rubies, they swim about. My dear devotees, even if you could go to the heavenly planets and look for such a lake, you would not be able to find this a lake. And because, as you will soon see, this lake plays such an integral part in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, it is considered to be the heart of Govardhan. Now we have a hint. Pushpavan, this area, is on the side of Govardhan, and there is this lake which must have some relationship with this flower pastime. Could any one of you, by using your best Vaishnava intelligence, guess what is the name of this lake today? Kusum Sarova. How did you figure that out? It's the best of lakes, and even today Vaishnavas like to go there. They like to sit in the shade, which is provided by beautiful pavilion-like things. And those who do Govardhan Parikrama and are overheated, they go into this absolute clear. Now there's also some green living algaes, but it's very cold and cool. No? All this, my dear devotees, collecting the flowers and creating this beautiful lake took only a moment, and after washing and drying the flowers, Krishna returned to the Kunja. Not alone. So many parrots came with him, so many cuckoos came, so many birds came with him, and he went there and braided Radharani's hair, intertwining it with flowers, with jewels, and because he was very creative, with peacock feathers and gunja berries. Gunja berries, you all know, are reddish and have a spot on it. It looks really like something. The Sakis were besides themselves in ecstasy. Not only was Krishna decorating Radharani, he had manifested a new pastime place. They were again shouting in ecstasy. But Syam Sundara didn't stop there. He started to do something which is only possible in the spiritual world. He took these small kunda flowers, they're this big, and he somehow fashioned earrings from them, but also shoes. You might ask, well, how can you have flower shoes? They have two steps and they fall away. They are not like Birkenstock. But you must know, we are now talking about Divyat Vrindaranya, the shining forest of Vrindavan, which is absolutely spiritual. Krishna made garlands from the flowers, he did armlets, he did bangles, he did sashes, it's like putting here. He even made anchor bells, and they sounded flowery. In this way, Krishna served Radharani very wonderfully, and after some time, when Krishna was done, he handed Radha a jeweled mirror and very humbly and meekly said, "Have I done well?" And Srimati Radharani looks at everything, you know, it's just like really so much decorated with flowers everywhere. She, who consists of pure Kladini Shakti, that is the energy which gives Krishna pleasure, starts to blossom and bloom in ecstasy and looks like a Cupid, so beautiful. And then the divine couple retires. My dear devotees, everyone in the universe speaks about serving Krishna. Because in that devotional service to Krishna, you find yourself how you truly are. But even Krishna likes to serve. He serves Srimati Radhika, but we also have heard that his heart is full of compassion for the souls in this world who try to please him and reach him, that in some ways he arranges their lives in such a way that they can smoothly progress. Krishna feels those who chant his holy names, especially who do this service, he feels they are mine, they're my people. I must take care of them. I would like to end this with this little remark about the spiritual world. If you want to serve Krishna, you have to follow the principle of these devotees. You have to follow how they are serving and loving Krishna. Let us speak about service for 2 minutes more. When you serve in this world, it is a great effort at times, and sometimes the master is pleased, or the person you serve is pleased, sometimes not. In this nowadays, this service is dealt with a monetary exchange. It's totally impersonalized by that. There are service agencies and so on. But in spiritual life, service has a very interesting quality to it. If you serve Krishna, you are becoming touched by the spiritual energy. Mahatmanas tu mam pata daivim prakritim ashrita. You take shelter in the spiritual energy and you become imbued, enlivened, and empowered even by the service. The service is something that brings you beyond yourself and your capabilities. You find as a servant of Krishna that very soon you cross your own limitations and you find yourself doing things that you couldn't do, let me tell it in American language, which you couldn't do on your own steam or on your own. And in Vrindavan, they give the example. If you serve butter to someone, they serve this sweet, it's butter with sugar, makhan. If you serve this butter to others, you don't have to worry if you will get butter. No. As you hand out the butter, your hand will become buttery. Oh. So as you do service to the all spiritual personality of Godhead and his associates, you will find that you become spiritualized, not butterized, spiritualized. And this is the secret of devotional service. And even our Lord Krishna in this pastime is fond and full of joy by serving Krishna, by serving Radharani very affectionately. So we want to end this here. Is there something? Yes. Gokrishna. Could you hear anything? No, no. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrinda Vrinda Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavana Dham. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavana Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavana Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavana Dham. Everybody please, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan. Bolo Vrindavan Dham ki. Hare Krishna. So it is our special joy to announce a new arrival to our holy name retreat. We all know him. Madhava has also come. And the last thing I heard from Madhava is that he was somewhere on the other side of the planet in Ecuador, isn't it? And he was at an international yoga conference where he presented Bhakti. Yes, Madhavai. He doesn't only sing. He presents bhakti also. Hare Krishna. So let us lovingly welcome him. Go Premanandi! Hare Krishna. Krishna. How do you like to hear about Krishna? It gives joy to our heart, no? Yeah, I am the good.